We're continuing our Lenten journey through the last week of Jesus' life. Today is Thursday, and we'll continue reading from where David left off after the call to worship. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink from the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it in the new kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even though all become deserters, I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." But Peter said vehemently, "Even though I must die, I will not deny you." And so said all of them. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus says to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "I'm deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Jesus came and found the disciples sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. Jesus came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs, and the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one that I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." So when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. And then they laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. And then Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." All of them deserted him and fled. If you continue to read on Thursday, Jesus is sent to trial, is condemned to death, and then Peter denies Jesus three times, and the day ends with Peter weeping. These are our sacred stories. On the first day of unleavened bread, Thursday. Thursday begins with preparations for the Passover. By evening, Jesus and the disciples are gathered in the upper room and sharing a final meal together. Some of them move on from there to Gethsemane, where Jesus prays for deliverance, where the disciples cannot even remain awake. Darkness falls, and with it the soldiers come. Judas betrays with a kiss, and Jesus is led away to be interrogated. He is condemned to death. All of this happens before daybreak on Friday morning. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus knows what will happen. He has known all along. known that going into the seat of empirical power and religious collaboration with that power and challenging both would lead to his death. He knew the cross was approaching. He could not have been oblivious to the hostility of the authorities. Perhaps he regarded his arrest and execution as inevitable, not because of divine necessity, but rather because it was obvious where his actions against the empire and empirical collusion would certainly lead. And so, while they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take this, it is my body." And then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. And he said to them, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I tell you, I will never drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." While they were eating, shared meals exemplify the ministry of Jesus in each gospel. So much of Jesus' ministry is done through sharing meals that Herbert Anderson and Edward Foley, in their book, Mighty Stories, Dangerous Rituals, Weaving Together the Human and the Divine, they note that Jesus must have weighed about 300 pounds because he was either at a meal, going to a meal, or leaving a meal. Jesus literally ate his way through the Gospels. And as is remembered over and over again in the Gospels, they killed him because of the way he ate. That is, because he ate and drank with sinners. Jesus welcomed the marginalized and the outcast to table, saying that such welcome was the kingdom of God. This had both religious and political implications. Religious, because this inclusion was done in the name of the kingdom of God. And political, because it affirmed a very different vision for society. The kingdom of God is a society where everyone is included, where outcasts are welcome and the hungry are filled. Meals with Jesus were not merely symbolic. They were real meals with real food, where hungry people ate until they were full, and often there were leftovers. Real food mattered to Jesus. It was connected to God's justice. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them. In Mark, Jesus at the Passover meal took, blessed, broke, and gave. In Mark, when thousands are fed, we read, "Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them." Jesus took, blessed, broke, and gave. We're meant to connect these two stories, but why? Why, just before his death, would Jesus remind us of the story where thousands are fed? Jesus, in his last week, continues to give us alternatives. 2 parades, the empire's parade of military might or the peasant parade of peace. 2 ways of dealing with conflict, effort after effort to entrap or nonviolent act of love as resistance. 2 ways to be a disciple, the woman and her lavish outpouring of love, and Judas and his bitter betrayal. And now on Thursday, Jesus presents us with 2 options for facing the injustice in this world where people are hungry, excluded, neglected. People, more than 5,000, were listening to Jesus all day in a deserted place. It was late and they were hungry. The disciples were ready with a solution. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat. Jesus' solution was quite the opposite. "You give them something to eat." To which the disciples respond, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread to give them to eat?" This is not the first time the disciples meet a problem by trying to send it away. They wanted to send away the children, but Jesus insists that the children come to him and says that to such as these belongs the kingdom of God. The Canaanite woman cries out, and the disciples came and urged Jesus, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." There are thousands who are hungry. The disciples see their familiar solution: send them away. Jesus not only welcomes the people and feeds them, he invites the disciples into full participation with this solution. Jesus has the disciples find what food is available. He has the disciples to welcome the people and have them sit down in groups. Jesus gives the disciples the food to distribute and has them pick up what is left over afterward. They live into the solution they did not even consider, the answer they thought impossible. They move with Jesus through send them away into welcome and care. Jesus does not bring down manna from heaven or turn stone into food. He takes what is already there, the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and there's enough when divine justice is enacted. At their Passover meal, Jesus distributes food already present to all who are there, a shared meal of what is already there among all those present. This is the great sacramental symbol of our faith, and it's a call to action, a practical program of the kingdom of God. Instead of sending them away, you give them something to eat, and you call that sharing the kingdom of God. Jesus was born in a town whose name, Bethlehem, means house where bread is baked. He was laid in a manger, a feeding trough. He compares his body to bread. He feeds thousands. He consistently meets people at table, dines indiscriminately, and is continually associated with food. And he challenges us over and over to avoid the traps of the empire, to face the impossible, and rather than send everyone away, to make welcome, to share food, to create community. Those first disciples do not meet the challenge. In the end, they will all become deserters. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, "You will all be deserters, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee.'" And Peter said to him, "Even though all become deserters, I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. But he said vehemently, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all of them said the same. They all said the same. But when the time to act came, they all deserted. They weren't able to stay awake and pray. They weren't able to face their fears. They sent themselves away as they wanted to send away the hungry crowd. And if we're honest, we understand this. We too have sent ourselves away. We've looked away, turned off the news. We've decided the problems are too big and not ours to solve anyway. Jesus, in his last week and indeed in his life, asks us to stay awake, to watch and pray. Asks us to use nonviolent act of love, asks us to follow into the seat of abusive power and demand change, asks us to find a way to welcome and include rather than to send away. Professor Mark Davies, in Refusing the Hand of the Empire, writes, "Those who wish to follow in the way of Jesus rather than the religion of the empire, need a reminder that following Jesus is better done in the catacombs rather than the cathedrals, in the barrios rather than the basilicas, in the streets rather than the status-seeking institutions, and the turning over of tables of injustice rather than taking up seats around them, and their resistance to empires rather than in their maintenance. People who would follow in the way of Jesus follow a Middle Eastern person who refused to take the hand of the empire and who was therefore tortured and executed by imperial authorities. And so we face the questions. Will we send ourselves away, or will we stay awake through our fears and insecurities? Will we take the hand of the empire, or will we face the problems of injustice, doing what we can do, caring where we can care? Amen.